Well, good morning, church. Welcome, everybody. We're so glad you're here. As Pastor Bill said, my name is Michelle Yorick. I am on staff here. I'm the Connections and Communications Director. And just on behalf of everyone, we welcome you. Just quickly, the message notes for today can be found in your mobile app. But if you want the paper version, we've got some folks who can bring you a copy right now. Just raise your hand and they'll be happy to bring you that copy right now as we're getting started. So I am so excited that I get to not only be here with you guys today, but I also get to kick off this next series called Missing Pieces. It's funny, you'll hear in just a bit, that the piece that I got was the one that I got because it's one I struggle with. So I think God works in really cool ways in that he makes you study really hard the one thing that maybe you're lacking in your life. So I thought that was super cool that he did that because Craig did not do it on purpose. He promises me that he did not choose me for this piece because I lack it. So I think it was definitely God put it together. So Facebook Live folks, hi, we're glad you're here as well. Don't want to forget about you guys either. And, you know, man, we're so glad you're here on the end of the spring break week. Lots of people are still on vacation today. We miss you guys that aren't here. We hope you're watching online or maybe a little bit later. But we certainly are glad that you guys were able to come out and join us today on the spring break Sunday. So this next 8 weeks, we're going to be journeying through the series called Missing Pieces. So if you think of life like this big puzzle, and you got all these pieces you got to put into place, sometimes you're missing a piece. Your puzzle's not complete. So over these next weeks, we're going to talk about pieces that might be missing from our puzzles and how to get those back so that we can get our puzzles put together. Let me ask you, have you ever put together a jigsaw puzzle? Okay, good. I was hoping someone in the room had. So have you ever put together a jigsaw puzzle and found that you were missing a piece? Yes. How did you feel? Frustrated. Yes. Were you ready to just give up and walk away from that puzzle? Well, in our house, when we're missing a piece to the puzzles we're putting together, it's typically because our cat took it and ran. I mean, because he's a little bugger, I tell you. So it's not fun trying to put our puzzles together when you're missing that piece because you just can't get the big picture together, right? So John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." You see, Satan is in the business of stealing our puzzle pieces. He's like my cat, all right? Which happens to be a little black cat, actually. So he comes and he likes to steal the pieces to our puzzle because it leaves us feeling frustrated. It leaves our life a complete wreck. And nothing makes Satan happier than to see us a complete wreck. Wouldn't you agree with that? But Jesus, on the other hand, comes and says, "Here's your piece. Here's the piece that was stolen from you. I have it. I'm freely giving it to you with my hand open wide. Take it, put it in your puzzle, and live life to the full." Doesn't that sound much better than Satan's plan? I think so. All right. So today, I'm going to start you on this journey of finding your missing pieces. All right, but I want to ask you very quickly, have any of you ever felt offended, wronged, hurt? Okay, everybody in this room should be doing this right now, because if you've walked a day on this earth, you felt those things, because people have done things to you. So it's all different varying degrees, these things that could happen to you. Now, unfortunately, my husband Trevor is going to get picked on quite a bit today. He agreed to it ahead of time. But I'm going to be using some examples from our lives because I want to be transparent. I want you to know, like, how badly I struggle with this. So just so you know, my husband's sitting right up here. So if I tend to be over here when I'm talking about the examples, you know why. So things that could have been done to us. Maybe someone said something hurtful to you. So I might have said, "Hey, Trevor, does this outfit look okay?" And he paused for a second. Suddenly, my feelings are hurt, right? All right, ladies, they know what I'm talking about. All right, it could have been that someone took advantage of you, took advantage of your kindness. They used you in some way. They lied to you. They physically hurt you or someone you love. There's all sorts of ways that we can feel offended and wronged and hurt. And I could not even begin to cover them all as I stand up here. But when this happens, when you feel offended, when someone hurts you, What do you do? Do you open your arms and give them a big old hug and say, it's okay? No, not typically. That can happen, but typically that is not our first response when we've been hurt or we've been wronged. Because see, what happens is, like, when someone pokes you, you know, they get you really good, they're a thorn in your side, however you want to word it, your tendency typically, and I can only use myself as a case study, okay? So I'm saying you, but I'm really talking about me, by the way. The tendency is that we're going to feel ready to get them back. We're going to lash out, right? We're going to possibly, you know, our feeling is that we want to make them hurt the way that they've hurt us, right? That's our general tendencies of what we want to do. But what if I told you that you don't have to feel that way? What if I told you that Jesus has the piece that's missing from your life's puzzle, that you can put that in place and you don't have to feel the urge to lash out, retaliate, and hurt them the way that they've hurt you? Would you like that? I know I would. Well, today's missing piece is mercy. And as I said before, this is one that I struggle with. So I love that I've just spent these past couple weeks studying mercy. Now, before I get into what mercy is, I do want to say there is a spiritual gift of mercy. That is not what I'm talking about today. All right, the spiritual gift of mercy, that is the folks, they have that gift, and they have the motivation to help people who are hurting, right? So that's those awesome folks who sit on our prayer team, on our care team here at Christ the King. That's those folks. They have that spiritual gift of mercy. What I'm talking about today, the definition of mercy I'm talking about today, is when you've been hurt and wronged, you have the choice of showing forgiveness or compassion towards someone, even though it's in your power to punish or harm them. The world might even say it's your right to punish or harm them, but you choose not to. That is showing someone mercy. I also want to point out, showing mercy to someone does not take away the evil or the bad thing that was done to you, all right? It doesn't nullify that evil. It doesn't stop the fight against evil. It doesn't do any of those things. Basically, it's you saying, you know what? I refuse to be drawn into that. I refuse to feed into the hate. I refuse to perpetuate, bless you, to perpetuate the violence anymore. That is what mercy is. Jesus showed us mercy. I think we can all agree with that. If you know the story of the cross, you know that Jesus gave each and every single one of us the gift of mercy in a huge and amazing way. But I want to point out too, Jesus giving us this mercy, it didn't make our wrongs right. It just made our wrongs right before Him. Amen? Does that make sense? Okay. So let's dive into some reasons why we don't offer mercy in those moments that we've been hurt, wronged, offended, all right? And I'm going to give you these reasons, and with each reason, I'm going to show you the piece that Jesus has in His hand to hand to us so that we can get our puzzles put together. So the first one is we minimize our own shortcomings and we maximize everyone else's. So I'm just going to repeat that. We minimize ours, but maximize everyone else's. We're not that bad, are we? Not compared to that guy, right? We certainly didn't deserve that. I mean, are these things that you've all said? I know I have. All right, Matthew 7, 1 through 5 says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it's going to be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye, but pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take that speck out of your eye,' when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eyes." See, it's so easy for us to see the shortcomings of others, but not so much our own. We don't put that mirror up in front of ourselves and look at our own shortcomings. For example, Trevor is awesome. He is awesome. I'm not saying that sarcastic. I'm serious. He is an awesome guy. And he loves to help me. So he'll offer to wash the dishes. And I love that because I've just cooked and I don't want to wash the dishes. Amen? Yeah. But he always seems to stop short of the big dishes. You know, the ones you got to scrub. Going to take a little more effort, not just a rinsing and throwing in the dishwasher. He always stops short right there. And I walk into the kitchen and there they sit. Well, if you know me, I talk a lot. All right? So I don't let it be unknown that I'm unhappy with the dishes sitting beside the sink. He knows Michelle's not happy with the dishes sitting beside the sink. But when's the last time I cut the grass? When's the last time I weed-eated? When's the last time I picked up the dog's business out of the yard so that he could cut the grass? Little speck, big plank, right? I'm so quick to notice that he didn't finish those last two pots, even though he had done a whole sink of dishes. But those last two pots weren't done. But I failed to notice my own shortcomings. That's what we do. So what peace does God have for us in this? The peace is, take a realistic look at your own shortcomings. So take a realistic look at your own shortcomings. When you do this, you are going to realize so quickly your need for mercy. Because when you realize how short you are in the Cummings department, you realize very quickly that yes, you are in need of mercy. And I also want to say this. You got to learn to show yourself some mercy. All right. I struggle with this one like you would not believe. I am so quick to beat myself up. I got the mom guilt. I got the wife guilt. I got the Pinterest failure guilt. I don't know how you want to word that, but you know what I'm talking about. Like, I can't do the Pinteresty thing, so I must be a bad woman. So I am so quick to put myself down and not offer my own self-mercy. Well, when I can't offer myself mercy, I'm certainly not going to be able to offer it to somebody else, right? Tell me I'm not the only one that struggles with this. Okay, good. I see a lot of heads going. Good, good. I was worried I was the only one. All right, so the second reason that we don't offer mercy to others is we respond to our hurts in the way that the world has taught us. Who's heard of the Hammurabi Code? Okay, I got one history major. Okay, he doesn't count. All right, you've heard of it, even if you don't think that you have. Okay, so Hammurabi was the sixth Babylonian king. And around 1754 BC, he wrote this tablet of 282 codes. And what they were for this offense, this is the punishment. This offense, this is the punishment. Okay, 282 of these. All right? Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Who's heard that? You've heard of the Hammurabi Code. That was one of his codes that was written. But listen to this. Matthew 5, 38 through 42 says, "You have heard it said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other. And if anyone wants to sue you for your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them two. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you." So some 1,780 years, if my math's right, that Hammurabi wrote these codes, Jesus quoted them in Scripture. Now, these codes predate the Mosaic Law, the Law of Moses. They were even before that. But Jesus is quoting them in Scripture. And that shows us just how impactful they were on that culture. Well, here we sit, 3,000 years later, we still know eye for eye, tooth for tooth. It's still impactful in our culture today. All right, this is the way our world operates, and this is the way the world teaches you to operate. Someone hurts you, hurt them back. You don't take nothing, right? You're strong. This is how the world is teaching us to do that. So, what is the peace that God has for us in this? Stop listening to the patterns of this world and start listening to the patterns of Jesus. Don't listen to the patterns of the world. Listen to the patterns of Jesus. How do you do that? You get as close as you possibly can to Jesus Christ. You have to form a relationship with him and a bond. Y'all are like this. But you're probably saying, well, how do I do that, right? This is actually from a message I did up here, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago. Here's three steps for you to get to know Jesus, best way you possibly can. First one is the Word, the Bible. It says in 2 Timothy 3, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This includes showing mercy to others. Amen? All right, so you need to be in the Word every single day. Do you know, can you know someone if you haven't met them, if you don't know about them? You can't really get to know them. All right, if you've got an idol, like someone you just idolize, you might read their biography, right? Because you want to get to know everything you can about them. How many of you have read a biography before of somebody that you just admire? Reading your Bible is you studying your mentor. All right, when you read your Bible, you're learning about the best mentor you can possibly have. If we're willing to read a biography, we should be willing to read about, you know, I don't know, about Abraham Lincoln. We should be willing to read the biography about our Lord and our Savior. Amen? So read your Bible every single day. And I'm not talking like 12 books laid around you with commentary, studying, digging deep. I'm not saying that. You don't have to do that. Just sit down and read it, because he's got a message for you in every single word on every single page, and it's specific to you. So read your Bible. The second way you get to know God the best way you possibly can is through prayer. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So can you get to know someone if you don't talk to them? You might think you know someone. I mean, think about your favorite celebrity, or even a friend on Facebook that you have not seen in years. You think you know them because you're seeing them in the media, or you're seeing them on Facebook, you're reading about their life, all those things. You think you know them, but really all you know is the persona that's put out there in the world. In order to get to know that person, you've got to talk to them. You have to listen to the words they speak back to you, right? That's how you form a relationship, and that's how you're truly going to know someone. I couldn't know my husband Trevor if we never spoke to each other. We have to speak to each other. And that's what prayer is. In its simplest definition, prayer is you talking to God and listening to him talk to you. Because prayer is also a little bit of a quiet time. You don't have to talk the whole time. You can sit and you can listen, because he's got something to say to you as well. And that's how you're going to get to know him. You're going to get to know his personality, his character. It is so vital. So that's the second piece. The third piece to getting to know Jesus the best you possibly can is through community. All right, and I think we overlook this one a lot. Now, here at CTK, we don't give you much of an opportunity to overlook it, because we talk about community quite a bit, because we were not meant to walk this walk alone. Hebrews 10 says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as it is a habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So Christian community is simply sharing a common life in Christ. All right, you're sharing this common life in Christ. It's a way to see Christ in others, which I think is really vital in this world, because it's a hurting and broken world. It's a source of accountability and guidance. I don't know about you, but I need accountability. I need people on my side helping me and pushing me on. So I need that accountability and that guidance. It's also a place for us to pray and worship, just like we're doing here today. You're in Christian community right now. It's a place for us to pray and worship. And it also gives you that place to serve, which is also vital. The practice of Christian community makes the gospel a lived out reality in your life. And that is super cool. Now, we've got lots of opportunities here at CTK for community. You can stop by that community groups table in the foyer today and learn more about those, because it is a key part in you getting to know Jesus. So make sure you do that. All right, so that was the three pieces to knowing Jesus. And that was being in the Word, prayer, and community. But let's move on to the third and final reason why we don't offer mercy to others. And this one is so key. You've got to get this one. We don't offer mercy to others because we don't understand the mercy that has been shown to us. We received an ultimate gift of mercy from Jesus, all right? Romans 3, 23 through 26 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus." So we've received this ultimate gift of mercy, and that is Jesus on the cross. But sometimes we don't see it, and we don't recognize it. We don't remember it. We might know it in our head, but maybe we don't know it in our heart. So what's the peace God has for us? Receive the mercy that Jesus gave us on the cross. You have to receive it. A merciful heart, like a heart that's just full of mercy and giving out of mercy, is one that has experienced a spiritual bankruptcy, okay? It has hit the lowest of lows, because when you've reached that spiritual bankruptcy, you truly can receive that gift of mercy from God. That's when you see it. Basically, in the shortest sense of it, mercy is going to birth mercy, all right? If you haven't received it, you can't give it. And you know, Trevor and I were talking about this last night. We've received this ultimate mercy from God, but you know what we may not have recognized as well in our lives is that we've received mercy from others. Because guess what? We've hurt people. We've wronged people. We've said things to people that hurt their feelings. We've done all these things. And someone at some point in your life could have given you mercy and you didn't even notice that it happened. They just offered you that gift. But you didn't even see it. I know I have. Bless you. I know I have. But we've got to receive the mercy from God first and also mercy from others so that we can share it with others. We have to understand this mercy. Because if we don't understand it, we don't even know what we're seeing. So you have to understand what mercy is so you can even receive it and recognize when you're getting it. But I do want to ask you, I mean, do you get, just thinking about the mercy from God, do you get how big that is? I mean, we stink sometimes. We do some pretty bad things. And he put Jesus on a cross for us. Like, that is huge. I mean, feel that. Understand that. Like, how big that is. If he can do that for us, can we not forgive the pause? When I say, does this outfit look okay? I mean, seriously, like we've got to move to that place. So let me ask you, as we're wrapping up, doing pretty good on time, y'all. Philip is worried. No, so let me ask you, are you ready today to acknowledge your shortcomings? Are you ready to stop looking at the patterns of this world and start looking at the patterns of Jesus? Are you ready to fully accept, receive, feel, believe the mercy that has been poured out on you? If you said yes, yes, and yes, I'd like to present to you your missing piece, because Jesus is handing it to you freely with an open hand. Here is your missing piece. Take it. Boldly put it in your puzzle and start living life to the full, because that is what he wants for you. He doesn't want you sitting around hurting and being angry and upset, because that's what happens. When you don't offer mercy to the people who've hurt you, you're hurting yourself more. They've probably moved well on and aren't even thinking about the word they said or the thing they did or the dish they didn't wash. They're not thinking about that. But you are sitting and stewing and just all inside. And Satan is happy. So let's make Satan unhappy. How about that? Let's just tell him, nope, I don't want you to be happy. I want Jesus to be happy. I want me to be happy. So Jesus is handing you your piece of the puzzle today. All you got to do is say, I accept it, and I'm going to put it boldly and proudly into my puzzle. And I also want to say, if you're here today, and maybe you've heard Jesus knocking on the door of your heart, but you've never quite opened it for him. Or maybe you thought you opened it for him, but today you're hearing, nope, I've never opened it. So you hear him knocking on that door, and you're ready today to open the door of your heart and let him in. Praise God. We are so excited for you because you have just accepted the biggest gift ever given to you. And that is a forever in heaven with your Lord and Savior. So we are so excited for you. Now, if you are doing that today, if you are saying yes to Jesus, you're opening that door in your heart. As I pray us out, I want you to say that prayer. You can say it quietly with me, but I want you to pray this prayer with me, okay? Let's pray. Gracious Father, oh, we praise you and we thank you so much for your love. We thank you for this gift of mercy that you have just so freely laid out on all of us, God. God, we thank you that even though we're not so good a lot of the times, you love us so much that you're willing to give us that mercy. God, today, I know that I need you. God, I know that it's through your mercy that I can and have been saved. God, I feel you knocking on the door to my heart today. And God, I just want to swing it open wide and say, come on in. This heart is yours. I invite you in. I know I'm a sinner. I know I fall short every single day, God, but I do ask you to forgive my sins today. I want you to welcome me into your loving and forgiving arms. God, again, thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your love. And God, I pray that you do a work in me that only you can do. I pray that for each and every one of us in this room today, God. It's in the precious and most holy name of Jesus that I pray.